Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with the Space Nerds, Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio. We're talking about weird, odd, smelly things in space, because why not? It's the sulfur case, not sulfur case, the sulfur episode. And so we talked about sulfur, that some you know, basically Io could smell very sulfuric. And then we talked about weird. Okay. Also, the fact that we were discussing the feet on this episode is just also kind of like, you know, like we're talking about pulling off your socks on the ISS and you see the skin cells go poof everywhere and that's weird. It's gross. I don't know why. There's certain things that just like, no. Oh, you know, I haven't even thought about this. Like, there's a lot of things about space and living in space and like bodily fluids. Like, what if you had a cold and you're sneezing and you're blowing your nose a lot and stuff? And you like, that'd be kind of weird. Like, you know how your nose is running and dripping, but there's no gravity. So
I think I just watch it.
It's just, I mean, it's had to happen at some point. I know they vomit in space too. So there's, you know, all that. All right. Well, anyway, so you guys have some lists of weird things in space, right?
I have a few.
Do you want to start us off, Benjamin? What's something weird in space that the world needs to know? What is something that might keep someone up at night tonight with an existential crisis?
The boots. He's building up. Void.
Oh, yes.
I love the boots void. The boots void is this massive kind of bubble in the known universe where there's really not a lot of stuff in there. There's very, very, very few galaxies. I know a galaxy isn't an enormous thing in itself, but this void is about 330 million light years across. It makes up about a quarter of a percent of the entire known universe, this massive bubble of almost pure nothing. And it's referred to as a super void. It's this massive, big, empty nothing.
And it's
called the Great Nothing, which is
the cool. Great Nothing. So there's no also dark mass, or, you know what I mean? Like, is there anything?
I don't know anything about the dark matter content of that area, but I do know where a similar size chunk of the known universe would be packed full of galaxies and clusters and groups of galaxies and everything, there isn't any of that in this massive bubble.
And do they have any theories why? Like, why is there, was there like a black hole there and it sucked everything up? Or
I sincerely doubt there's a black hole big enough to suck in something that huge. But one theory that I read, and I'm sure Kavi has way more better educated insight.
He's more better educated. Better.
He read up them books.
He's got the mostest education. Yeah.
Right. when the Big Bang happened and the universe expanded, it didn't expand uniformly. It kind of just bubbled and burped all over in every different direction at once. And this is just one of the little, there's many voids in our universe, little pockets of not a lot of dense groupings of the galaxies or stars, but some have to be bigger and some have to be smaller, and this just happens to be the biggest one,
It's massive. So it's kind of like when I tell my kids to clean up an area, and it's like the reverse of that, where like some of it gets clean, but then there's this big massive amount of stuff that didn't get clean, and I'm like, with this spot right here, like what happened here? Kavi, do you have any theories as to why there is a giant void in our universe of nothingness?
It all has to do with sulfur.
Sulfur?
Boom!
Perfect. Does it really?
Yeah. All the stars want to get away from the smelly feet.
No,
it's,
There's no tacos in there, and everyone in there wanted tacos, so they
left. Yeah. There's a problem.
There you go.
Tacos. Mm, okay.
So it's basically, there are a few different theories. I mean, one thing that you can go off is, like Benjamin was saying, there are areas in space that are, you know, more dense and less dense, and that just kind of happens when you have this kind of random-ish process of different regions of space expanding in the early universe. One cool way that scientists think that this massive supervoid was created was by the merger of smaller voids. And smaller voids, we're actually in a smaller void. So when you have a supernova that explodes, a star at the end of its life, it pushes material outwards. And our solar system is actually in the middle of this kind of like, not super void, but kind of like a void of a couple of supernovas that exploded within a few hundred years of each other. And they kind of created this very, very sparse region that our solar system exists in. And that... there is a... Yes?
No, go ahead. I'm just saying, I've always heard our where we are is referred to as maybe we're in a quiet part of the solar system or a quiet part of the universe. And I never actually understood what that meant. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's this local bubble that we're in, basically formed by a couple of supernovae that went off, I want to say like on the order of 15 million years ago. I can't remember exactly. I should, because I did research for this Veritasium video on supernovae that mentioned this that came out a couple of weeks ago. So check out that video if you want more information that I clearly can't remember right now.
That's okay. I have a memory of a goldfish as well. That totally makes sense that that's how, you know, it's just sort of simply summed up as like, why haven't we found life yet? Well, we're kind of a quiet part of the universe, and I've never understood exactly what they meant by that, but now I'm like, oh, okay, that kind of puts a little bit more context to it. By the way, really quick, completely not related to space side note here, Kavi has a standing desk, which he has just raised to the standing position for the first time that we've ever recorded before. And he has a boomerang mounted on his wall. And if that is not the most Australian thing that's ever been Australia'd in Australia, I don't know what it is. But like, way to I don't know. Like, that is the most Australian thing that's ever happened on this show. Another weird thing in space. Let's get one more in here before we have to hit another break.
A quick one that we could do is cold fusion welding.
Cold fusion. Cold fusion is also one of those things. Right. Like, I think that's like a weird concept for people in general, because when we think of fusion, we think of heat and it melts together. So go.
Yes. So basically, it was kind of discovered by accident when doors and metallic latches didn't open properly in space. But the general concept is that
always the best way things are discovered. Like, thank you, antibiotics. Actually. Yeah.
But yeah, when you have two materials, let's say, like you have like two bars of steel in on Earth, if you like put them together, there'd be like a bunch of impurities and air and like random molecules in between them, and so there's like, you know, steel bar one, steel bar two, and clearly something separating. When you if you were to put those two steel bars next to one another in space, it's a vacuum. There's almost nothing in between them, and so they would actually fuse together just because of that. And that is cold fusion welding.
Cold, you know, and that makes me think of, I'm sorry to bring up the documentary again last night of Opportunity, but they were talking about, you know, the testing of the parachutes and the airbags, yes, for landing. And it's the same thing for Perseverance or anything we send to land on Mars. There's no really good way to test these things because we can't simulate it. So imagine the engineering that has to go into the thought, the added thought of like, watch out for that cold fusion thing that can happen when you're like designing something. It's like an added like twist of like, watch out for that. And I have taken physics. I have taken physics, and I remember in physics they would always take out of, he would always be like, you know, figure this out, this equation out, something like this. But, you know, we'll just say that, yeah, friction is not a factor. And I, and like the problems were so hard without friction being a factor. I was like, I don't know how did we get to space? Seriously, how did we get to space when, you know, we did some orbital mechanics stuff and it was like, you know, assuming that, you know, air isn't providing any drag, any friction, blah, 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 blah. And it was still like, imagine being an engineer and you're like, and by the way, there's this cold fusion nonsense that you got to watch out for too.
There are always these like small effects that you kind of, you solve like a zeroth order, like the simplest version of a problem. And then you have to remember to add in all of the other components, like you're saying, like friction. On the topic of space, I mean, my favorite like fact that's related to this is the fact that I think the first person to ever do a spacewalk was also the first person to ever get stuck outside of their spacecraft, who was, I think his name was Alexei Leonov. He was a Soviet cosmonaut. And I think what happened was there was this factor of expansion that they didn't take into account that basically meant that he wasn't able to open up the latch to get back into the spacecraft after, because the materials had expanded.
Oh my God. How
does this happen? Yeah. If I have two objects of the same material and they touch in space, they're called fuse, or do I have to apply some force? They just simply have to touch?
Well, there would always be some force between them because of gravity, right? Their masses would always be. I don't know what the amount of force is.
Jesus Christ, this is way too much physics. Like,
so if anyone listening has a rocket company, can you send me up so I can try this?
Benjamin's out there live streaming. He's like, I'm going to put this Lego up to this Lego and broop, see what happens.
Legos have been in space for decades, and that's actually true.
It's, you know, I guess here's my last sort of like, not a weird thing in space, but, you know, I love the things that we try out in space because of zero gravity. And then we just want to see what it's like. Like, all the instruments that have been taken up to the ISS, where it's just, to me, it's just funny because that is totally, as a musician, what my mind would go to as well, is like, what would this sound like up in space? You know, cause sound has to, we have air, so it's traveling on a medium in the ISS, but it's still, to me, there would be this element of like, how would it sound? Would it sound different? Would it sound a little bit? I don't know. I know it doesn't, but there's still, and I'm not alone because there have been so many instruments that sent into space. I think I heard the largest was like bagpipes or something like that. Like that was one of the most complex big thing instrument wise that got sent to the ISS.
No, Scottish astronauts allowed since then.
I could be mistaken, but because I know there's been a flute and obviously a guitar. I think a saxophone. There's been a lot of instruments in space. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, that's me. That's exactly what I would do too. I would be like, what should we play in space? What music should we play in space? I like music, and it's convenient that we're on a radio station that plays music. So we're going to take a break, and look at that segue. We are the Space Case Sarah Show. We're talking about weird things in space, smelly things in space. I think that there were some other smelly facts about space that we'll get to in the next segment. We're here broadcasting on iRock Space Radio, which you can listen to in real time if you're doing so right now, but you can also probably catch this episode that will be put up on our website on irockspaceradio.com. So make sure that you check that out. And like I said, when we get back, we'll talk about other weird, smelly things in space. So this is the Space Case Sarah Show here on iRock Space Radio. Cheers.